Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Frightened Democrats, Lee, want a gag order to shut Trump up. They want a gag order from the judge. And they'll get it. They get whatever they want. Because, usually, look, yeah, these judges are elected in New York. Okay, so whatever judge doesn't do what the, you know, most radical portion of the Democrat primary electorate wants is going down, and they know it. So whatever illegal things the left wants the court to do here, no matter how irrational, these judges are going to do it. These are truly kangaroo courts. By the way, this is actually the weakest case against Trump. There's two more pending out there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see him triple indicted. This is just the first one. And I'm telling you, they want to make this the norm. They want to make this the norm. If you are the Republican front runner in the polls, clearly the front runner, you're getting indicted. It's just how it is. And believe me, as these left-wing voters see this, they will expect it in every election. And they'll get it, too. Because, look, these local judges, they'll go down in primaries if they don't indict Trump. If they say, hey, this is not a legal use of the law, you can't do that. It doesn't matter. They're going to do this in blue areas, and they're going to haul you in. And that's why I said my first reaction yesterday was, you know, if you are a right winger, you got to learn from this. You cannot live in a blue area if you're a public persona. You can't. I've been saying it for months, have I not? These are post-American, post-constitutional judicial systems. Yeah. And have I not been saying for weeks, months, Americans don't understand the judicial system in blue areas, and our federal judicial system is gone. Mm-hmm. It is gone. And I don't think even the hosts on Fox News understand as much as they were correctly crowing about it, because then you had all these morons. They had all these morons on, well, this is not a good case, and the jury's going to hear that you can't prosecute on this, and the jury's going to hear there was no fraud, so the statute doesn't fit. No, it doesn't matter. No,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what the jury's going to hear. Who cares? They're doing this in Manhattan because the voter base there is 80% Democrat, almost 90. When you add in how they vote, some of them are independents, but if you look at the voting patterns, it's just shy of 90. So what's the math there? Okay, you got 11. How many do you get to strike on the jury? Well, you get two, usually. I mean, I've covered a lot of these cases. You get two. All right. Well, what are you going to do? Go pull their voter record. Strike the two who you think are not Democrat. And there you go. Got a conviction. You can argue the most absurd thing in the world. And they will. And they're going to win. And this is why I've been saying that the problem here, you know, what you're looking at, Lee, is not just, oh, well, they're going to get Trump, they're going to get our front runner. No, they're going to start doing this to members of Congress, too. Because when you look at the D.C. courts, it's the same way. And D.C. is even worse. They've got a 90% Democrat registration, right? Do you remember when the FBI tried their own lawyer in the D.C. courts? Because remember, he had come to them at Hillary's behest and said, oh, Russia collusion, and lied to them about Russia collusion. That was laid out in court. This guy broke the law. Okay, so they refused to convict. So they interview them after they interview the jurors. And the jurors say, oh, we knew he broke the law. Yeah, he definitely broke it. But we're fine with it because they like the politics of it because he went after Trump. He lied to the FBI, broke the law, lying to the FBI, going after Trump. But they just thought it was cool that he went after Trump, so they acquitted him. Just let it go. That is what a weaponized jury does. It works both ways. So understand, people are like, we need justice. What, you going to try them in D.C.? Yeah. D.C. courts never will take out Hunter Biden. They never will take out Joe Biden. None of that will ever happen, even if the jury walks out of that room and tells the people interviewing them, yes, we knew he broke the law. We just thought he should be left alone. We like the FBI. So this is where we are. And it's even worse in these local cases where the judges are elected at the local level, not appointed. So this is why you're going to begin to see them in these courtrooms, hauled into blue state courtrooms. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say what really concerns me here from the big picture standpoint. It's already well established that liberal progressives have no respect for the rule of law.
No, none.
What's going to happen to this nation when we then have those on the right who have no reason to have any expectation for the rule of law? Because that's what we're being shown here. Granted, and you're absolutely right about your criticism, Republicans and Democrats are both at fault here for what's been going on with Donald Trump. But what liberal progressives are doing here is taking away any semblance of the rule of law actually working in this country. And when you have the left and the right, neither of whom have any respect for the rule of law, what have you got? You don't have a nation anymore.
No, it's gone. The federal system's gone for sure. And at that point, you've got the left coming into right areas to attempt to extract political prisoners for trial in post-American, post-constitutional territories that are essentially kangaroo courts. And I mean, again, we saw the beginning. Have I not been forecasting that far? We saw the beginnings of it with DeSantis saying, I'm not participating in the extraction of Trump. I'm not doing it.
Extradition.
I say extraction because it's gonna be like that with the jackboots going in. You know, I mean, are they going to fight the Secret Service? Is that how that's going to go? I mean, it's going to be weird, you know?
And I just saw where they're now saying that Trump's probably going to be go Tuesday. I'm guessing what they'll do is they'll say Tuesday and they'll actually do it Monday. And, you know, I don't think that there's going to be any type of resistance put up by Trump and his attorneys. I think you probably do things hopefully this time the smart way, and just go ahead peacefully, go along with it, and get a smiling mugshot for the DA and for the media, and you know, get on with it. Because, you know, even if convicted, I mean, there's nothing to this. He's not going to prison. That's not going to happen. All they want is this indictment. That's what they want. They want the headline. They want the narrative. They want to be able to say your Republican MAGA president was indicted. And they've got it. It's what they wanted.
It'll work, too.
Just like the impeachment.
In general,
they knew
it'll work.
The impeachment they knew was never going anywhere. And they did it twice. They knew it wasn't going to work. They just wanted to say, we indicted him twice. I mean, impeached him twice. That's all they wanted. That's all they want is the headlines. That's it.
Because they know they hurt him. I mean,
yeah,
Joey Behar laid it out. This is making Trump very loved and very protected in the Republican primary, but I'm telling you, it does not help him in the general election.
No, not at all.
It turns out the people, it will turn out these flaky suburban women who, you know, if they don't have a hair care appointment that day, will go vote. See, I'm telling you, I can say it because I'm a woman. Women are the most dangerous voters in this country, especially the educated ones. They get exponentially dumber the more you educate them at these liberal colleges. And they just so dumb. And so, I mean, they'll go vote, I mean, based on, you know, whatever news report from NPR they heard last. And if they don't have a hair care or a nail appointment that day and they get a little angry at Trump and they feel something and they'll go. I mean, but this indictment does hurt Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If I was the Democrats, I'll tell you what I would do with it. I would make sure that whatever sentence he gets, if he gets a sentence in one of these, and he will, because they do whatever they want once they get you in one of these blue courts, I would make sure the sentence has him out of prison in time for the election. I do not want him in prison during the election. Don't want that. I don't want him unable to run in any way. I want to be able to say he served his time and that he's a criminal. That's what I would do. This is just to mess him up. So, yes, this is making him, it's dramatically increased his popularity among Republicans who've come back home in the primary. I mean, you're watching DeSantis, you know, who was actually, you know, really at Trump's heels in December, has fallen way back by double digits. But this is not going to help Trump with the general population at all. And that's the point of it, is to bloody him up.
Yeah.
But still keep him standing.
Exactly.
So
that they can continue to divide the GOP in the primaries. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. All of it.
That's what this is about. I mean, all this is politics.
It's all politics.
Every single bit of it. You know, every bit of this is nothing but pure politics. And that's all that this is. This has nothing to do with justice.
Nope. No, it doesn't. And now I'm seeing people on the text line saying, well, Republicans should, do this to Democrats. No, that doesn't work. That's not how I want to fight this fight. Well, tit for tat. If they can do it, that makes us just as bad. And they've got the upper hand anyway. So, no, that's not what we do. We use the power that our founders intended, which is the power of the states. If you guys want this to stop, let's repeal the income tax amendment. Watch the federal government collapse back down to size. The size it was meant to be when it was only supposed to be funded by tariffs. If you want to know something you can do, we can't, I don't even think we can piecemeal this anymore. Go, well, maybe we'll beg Kevin McCarthy to shut down the FBI or something. No, our leaders are not going to shut down the FBI. The FBI protects them. They're not going to do that. I'm going to say our leaders, I mean our Republican leaders. We need to pull the plug on the funding. That needs to be the fight. We have got to get rid of the federal. You know, we've only had an income tax since the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And you know, in the found, if you go back and read the Federalist Papers, the founders thought income tax was slavery.
Yeah.
They used that term in the Federalist Papers, the speeches they were giving at the two constitutional conventions, slavery. We voted ourselves into slavery with it. That's why our government is so much bigger than the founders ever intended. So, I mean, I'm sick and tired of sitting around hearing people go, well, we got to restore the integrity of our institution. Our institutions, our federal institutions were never supposed to exist.
Many of them, yes, true.
Yeah, only the ones in the Constitution, and that does not include the Department of Justice or the FBI.
Yeah.
Not in the Constitution. Bye-bye. No funding for it anyway. We had a wonderful country up until the mid-1900s, the teens, 1913 to 1916. We can go back to that. We just need to pull the plug on a federal government and weaken it. We don't have time to go agency by agency and hope Kevin McCarthy will defund the FBI, and then the Democrats come right back and fund it bigger.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Texter writes, Terry, I thought that once someone was announced a presidential candidate, they can't be gone after or charged with crimes. No, that's the actually internal Department of Justice policy. And they ignored it for Trump in 2020, but not for Hunter Biden, of course. But no, that's a federal policy of the Department of Injustice. That doesn't apply to like a local DA, which is why they're using one in this particular case. Text writes, hey, Tara, I'm hearing you loud and clear in Houston, Texas, streaming through Odyssey. You guys rock. So says Jack. Oh, cool. Text writes, Tara, who realistically speaking will vote to do away with the 16th Amendment? Wouldn't you get a similar response if you tried to get Congress to pass term limits? Perhaps. But even if we don't, well, then we got to accept what comes, and it's going to be a dictatorship. I mean, this week, you know how this week started? Do you remember? Gosh, it sounds like 5 days ago. It's an eternity. It started with the revelation that the Biden administration had tried to censor our text messages. They had already won the censorship battle on social media. And we had the internal documents from Department of Homeland Security censoring our text messages. They didn't want you and I to be able to criticize dear leader in our most private conversations, including on WhatsApp, which is meant to be a private messaging system. That is how it sells itself. And so you had a Biden administration censorship czar. His name's Rob. Writing to Facebook, because they own WhatsApp. They bought it in 2014. Demanding censorship of the most private and personal conversations. What does that mean? Well, they didn't get it, that we know of. But that's where they're going. By midweek, we had Lindsey Graham, our senator, sponsoring a bill, he claims he didn't even know he was a sponsor, that would implement a secret police state Chinese-style system of censorship. where the new secret police wouldn't even be known to you. You can't FOIA them. You can have your accounts removed at any time by the Commerce Secretary, the Treasury Secretary, or the Director of National Intelligence under Joe Biden for colluding with the enemy, for passing on information that affects an election if that information is of valuable value to the enemy. In other words, anybody conservative who says something bad about Democrats. We then learned that the same bill by the same secret police state that Lindsey Graham sponsored. What if old Linz has taken his sponsorship off yet? I was shocked to learn he'd sponsored it. What about old Tom Tillis? Give him a call today, by the way, if you haven't already, up in North Carolina. He sponsored this monstrosity. So by Wednesday, we had the bipartisan Restrict Act. Create secret police state, because that's what it is. When they're not subject to FOIA, they don't even have to tell you who the leaders of the police state are who are taking down your posts and your social media accounts. But this was so much bigger because, you remember, it would allow them access to every single digital communications tool you have. Your home network, your phone, any other way you might want to communicate, all the way on up to your Ring doorbell, because they want to see the video of who comes to see you. Who's they? Don't know. It's a secret police state. That's why they're not subject to FOIA. By the way, there's only one other law enforcement agency in the United States not subject to FOIA, and that is the Capitol Police. So that's where we were by Wednesday when Lindsey Graham was shocked to learn on Jesse Waters that he had sponsored a bill that would allow Joe Biden to create a Chinese-style police state. By the way, the only people that that bill doesn't rein in, TikTok and China. That's a TikTok bill. It's 686. Should be called 666, but they had to throw an 8 in there. So the Chinese-style bill, Lindsey Graham claims he is shot. He has no idea he wanted a police state. Tom Tillis did too, by the way. If you would like to let them know how you feel about that up in North Carolina, we've got a very powerful tool called the text line. So you can text keyword Senate to the text line 71307. Then you just put in your state and it'll spit out all the ways you can contact your senator. Ask Tom Tillis. You know, if he wants to live in China, instead of taking all of us with him, maybe Senator Tillis could just move to China himself. That would be easier. And I'm sure the Chinese would make him very comfortable there for doing their bidding in Congress. So the quote, this is Democrat Republican Coastmaster. So that was by Wednesday, we were to a secret police state. But it was only Wednesday. By Thursday, we're all the way to kangaroo courts in the indictment of Trump. As we're watching Tuesday and Wednesday, the FBI explained that, no, what the Trans Day of Vengeance folks are doing is, yeah, no, that's protected First Amendment activity when they teach those people how to make Molotov cocktails and call for vengeance specifically in Nashville and then kids get killed. No, that's totally First Amendment protected activity. So we're not going to do anything about it. And then they are asked, their press people, hey, you're gonna monitor these groups? You maybe should watch them. Like you do the rosary praying Catholics who've never done a mass shooting ever. Maybe you should watch that, monitor them. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. And that was the cue to the masses to go ahead and take the legislative capital there in Tennessee. But in case anybody had any doubt who the White House is mourning this week, after the left-wing terror attack, Joe Biden laughed before telling us about the children killed in Nashville. He had a second chance, though. He was asked about it while exiting the White House to get on the helicopter. Hey, excuse me, sir. Senator Josh Hawley says that this was a hate crime against Christians. Joe laughed out loud because it's funny when children die to the Democrats. And then to make extra sure that we all knew whose side the Biden administration was on, Karine Jean-Pierre said the most jaw-dropping thing she said to date, and that's really saying something. She called for sympathy for the Trans Day of Vengeance group. She was specifically asked about the Trans Day of Vengeance. What was Joe's opinion on it?
And one of the things that we saw during the midterm elections is that people don't want their freedoms to be taken. They want us to fight for their freedoms. And so it is shameful, it is disturbing, and our hearts go out to the trans community as they are under attack right now. But
By the way, in that entire two-minute exchange, I won't make your head hurt with it, she didn't even bother to throw in the polite, yeah, we really hate it for the parents of the dead children too. Nope. Never mentioned them when asked about the Trans Day of Vengeance. So, you know, she's asking for a moment to help the trans community cope with their loss. Loss of who? Who died? We know the answer. That was sick. And that right there, that's the green flag. That's the green flag. Go ahead, take the legislature in Tennessee. We'll cheer you on. We got you back. So does our FBI. And that was just this week. All of that, just this week. My Lord, what's next week going to be like? What a week it was. Just summarized it right there. Absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, there's no other way to describe all of it. I mean, we're still waiting to find out if we're going to live in a secret police, Chinese-style police state. I'm thinking there's been enough outrage about the Restrict Act that it'll at least get blocked in the House. But, I mean, this is the week we've had. And I don't think most people even noticed anything was wrong until Trump got indicted. And again, there's two other indictments behind this one waiting for him. And should that take him down? There's at least one waiting for Ron DeSantis in Texas. DeSantis number two right now in the primaries. But there's some good news this week. I feel like we have finally turned a corner. Because we've been talking on this show about how we got here, and it is really important that we remember how we got here. I predicted all of this going back to 2017, but I especially predicted it. I don't know if you remember, if you've been listening to me, screaming bloody murder after Mar-a-Lago was raided. And the leader of the Republican Party, the highest ranking Republican official, the leader in the Senate is always number one, and the party leader in the House is always number two. Same for Democrats and Republicans. That's Mitch McConnell. And Mar-a-Lago got raided. It turns out for the very crime the feds already knew Joe Biden had committed in terms of classified data. And I mean actually committed, not fake committed like in Trump's case, but he'd done it as a vice president and as a senator. We had no right to have that classified data. And we learned that the Chinese were being given tours through the Penn Biden Center. Remember all that? Where the classified data was kept? And nobody cared. So we would later learn that the feds raided Trump's home, I think because they had found out about Biden's crimes. And so there they are. They're at Mar-a-Lago. And I do what I always do. I Google Mitch McConnell. Is Mitch McConnell saying anything? He's leader of the Republican Party. Again, I do what the Democrats do. You know, I've been doing this for two years. Mitch says nothing. So a couple days pass, and a reporter finally asked him, hey, Mitch, you care about this Trump raid thing? We've never seen like it, a president's personal residence. Mitch ripped the reporter's head off for asking that question. He was very angry that he had been interrupted. What does that tell Democrats? Mitch has got their back. So outrage ensued on our side, and Mitch probably figured that hurt his fundraising efforts. So he the next time he was asked the question, he said, well, I'm looking forward to learning the details behind the Trump raid. I didn't condemn it. Democrats know what that is. That is a thumbs up. That's what that is. Mitch McConnell, after all of the revelations of the censorship, including of the Senate campaigns of Republicans, he has personally raised the money to fund. He learned those were censored, and he got mad. No, I'm kidding. He said nothing. So Democrats know Mitch has their back. It got so bad that the Federalist, which is middle of the road, proclaimed that Mitch is a Democrat, which he probably is. So this is why all this is happening. In Mar-a-Lago, the raid foreshadowed all of this. But the good news is that Ralph Norman and some other brave freedom fighters have Kevin McCarthy in a straitjacket. They know they can call at any time to revoke his speakership. So he's having to stand up for Trump. So that's good. That's good. The good news here is that aside from Mitch, Republicans have come together, even those who are, you know, do not want Trump to win and have started to speak. Have started to speak out instead of just pretending this stuff is not happening. Okay. That is progress. We have not seen that so far. You know, and I've been sitting in this chair day in and day out going screaming. I mean, if they don't start speaking up, they are next. They are next. And they're gonna all get tried by DC juries. Which means whatever the prosecutor says, I mean, it doesn't matter if he could prove it or not, they're going to prison. I mean, for long sentences. They better speak up. I mean, just to preserve their own hides, forget about Trump or liberty or any of that stuff. So that seems to have sunk in, and we actually have half of the Republican leadership. I mean, Kevin McCarthy outraged yesterday. Good. This is what I'm at. Just speak. Even if we lose, we at least spoke and acknowledged reality. That's the first step. You have to do that. And I get these texts all the time. Oh, we're losing. No, losing is what happens when you show up to the game. My kids play sports right now. You show up to the game, you get on the field, you attempt to play the game, but you fail. Where we are right now, we have pulled up to the parking lot, okay? Which we've never done before. We haven't quite got on the field yet, but we're in the parking lot. And I'm telling you, the Democrats do what I do every day. They Google our leaders to see what they're saying, and that is their clue with what they can get away with. So, I mean, if we finish this month without passing the TikTok ban, which will implement an absolute digital Chinese-style surveillance state here, we're going to be in good shape. But we've begun to speak out, and it was good to see all of these candidates, all of whom are running against Trump in the primaries, begin to speak out. Even if Lindsey Graham, who was playing a senator who carried on television this morning, wasn't the one who did this first. Because again, remember who pioneered this. Alvin Bragg is the second person to run a kangaroo court and misuse our justice system to persecute Trump. The first two people who did it were Republicans. They were Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. And I cannot emphasize this enough. It's important to understand this. The first weaponized, subpoena-laden investigation of Trump was run in the House and the Senate because we controlled those committees. We could have shut them down, and we did it anyway. So you had two running in the House, and you had two running in the Senate for the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. Hillary, she wasn't even investigated. You know, the one who actually did the Russia collusion hoax. They never even hauled her in. And then we learn out in 2017 that since 2017, all these people, Trey Gowdy, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and yes, Lindsey Graham have known there was never any Russia collusion. So when you see Alvin Bragg and the Democrats doing this, understand they are second to do it, not first. The first people to do it were Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. That's who did it first. They were Republicans. They weaponized the Department of Injustice and the FBI to do it. Alvin Bragg is just a cheap knockoff of their efforts. And it was all because they didn't want to share the fundraising kitty with Trump. It was an epic struggle between the Bush fundraising machine and the Trump fundraising machine for control of the Republican Party. And Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan said, hey, we're going to use the FBI, we're going to use the DOJ, we're going to use lawfare to do it. This is why when brave Republican members of Congress in those first 2 years lobbed 36 subpoenas at the Department of Injustice and the FBI, all of which would have uncovered that it was all a lie. But Paul Ryan, you remember, the Speaker of the House, Republican Speaker of the House, was going behind their backs and telling the FBI and the DOJ, just ignore them. They had the force of what used to, they used to have the force of law. And so this is how the first kangaroo court prosecution went on. And remember this, as I pointed this out at the time, what was so outrageous about it, the real pioneering thing that the Republican leadership did, is that collusion is not a crime. And yet, they allowed Mueller and the FBI and those 36 FBI agents to use subpoena power to demand over a million documents from Trump as the GOP leadership and all of them tried to find a way to indict him. He's so clean, they couldn't. He's amazingly clean. Actually, kind of shocking that an accountant didn't make a mistake somewhere and they're like an honest mistake that they could weaponize and say, you know, whatever, on a tax form somewhere. Because he's got so many people working for him. But you'll remember, I screamed about that because you cannot use subpoena power when there's no crime. I mean, Congress can, but the FBI can't, the DOJ can't. But it was the Republicans who did this. Again, understand, this is not a historic day. First kangaroo court. We've never seen our system used this way. Oh, yes, we have. The Republicans did it first. Alvin Bragg ain't even doing half the job they did. We taught the Democrats to do this, just like George W. Bush taught them to do this when he was president. And that's why most of Obama's numbers on the border were not as bad as George W. Bush's. We taught them that too. Everything they're doing, we taught them. And the chickens just came home to roost this week. That's how it happened. And we need to know our history so that we can not repeat it. Excuse me. Ooh, yeah. What a crazy week it was heading into the weekend. Ron DeSantis saying we're two countries. Now we are. We're two countries. It's what the Great Sort's all about. Literally, the population center of this country has shifted to the South. It's never been to the South before. Ever. Not since the founding. But it is now. Usually was, you know, it's more to the Northeast and the West. It's just people fleeing blue states and they feel they're unlivable, and they are. You cannot live in these states. That's the big takeaway from this. And people are going to have to learn. You know who the canary in the coal mine was, oddly? It was Alex Jones. It's always Alex Jones. He was one of the first deplatformed. Do you remember? Nobody cared. Because everyone, well, Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist, blah, blah. Guy's kind of weird. So like, nah, it's okay. It's cool if you take him down and nobody objected. So then they took the rest of us down too. And then they tried lawfare on him. And Alex Jones made a huge mistake. He lived in Austin. You cannot live in Austin. Austin is blue. You can, not only can you not live in a blue state, you can't live in a blue state, in a blue county, in a red state. Or they'll wreck you. They found a novel new libel theory to try him on. And they won. They got a blue jury. And so, it doesn't matter what, you know, what you think of Alex Jones, you like him, you don't like him. That was a total bastardization of justice. But when you put them in front of these jurors, and this is what's changed. It's, yeah, the corruption, yeah, the corruption system. But these juries are so brainwashed. And you got to understand, because I don't think they're, even the Republican leadership understands. When they put a Republican in front of these blue juries, I mean, have you spent any time listening to their media? Biden's corruption is blacked out. The Democrat Party's legitimate corruption is blacked out. And on a loop, they are told the whole Republican Party has been Nazified by Vladimir Putin. And if Republicans ever get any power again, Putin's going to run the country. That's absurd. Russia never even influenced that election. It was a total lie, but they don't know. And so if you put any Republican in front of them, they're going to convict. It doesn't matter what the details are. They think they're in an existential struggle to reclaim their democracy, even though this is a republic. They don't even know what country they live in. They think they live in a democracy. And that's what's making this possible, is the absolute weaponization of the population that comes from what? I tell you this every day. What is the one thing we could do to change all this? What fixes this? And the censorship. All of this is coming from the censorship, from those 80 FBI agents that have counseled so many accounts, that black out the truth about Hunter Biden's laptop, that attacked the New York Post, that have arrested almost everyone around Trump. They're the ones censoring reality. And so you have these juries weaponized with fake news, who have no access to the truth. And you look at every major problem we have in this country, almost all of it comes back to censorship, and it's relatively new. And I mean, and people ask me all the time, what do we do to fix this? Well, like, the number one thing, aside from repealing the income tax amendment, would be, you know, we need the Republican leadership to stop putting up with the censorship of our side. Let us have the media share of the market that we deserve. Let people read both sides. And until that happens, we're going to lose all of it. We will. It's predetermined.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.